a brand new episode of the Happy Productive Podcast is about to begin. It's time to be inspired by simple and actionable solutions for you and your business. If you're an established entrepreneur or just laying down the first brick of your future empire, the mantra is the same. We will flip any failure into a positive and use it to our advantage. This show is all about turning coal into diamonds. With the right plan and mindset, anything is possible. I'm Jennifer Dawn, your host, business coach, and founder of Best Planner Ever, and I'm here to help you achieve all your ambitious goals. Success is closer than you think. Let's do this. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Happy Productive Podcast. I'm so excited to jump into a conversation with my guest today, Miss Dina Jansen. Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. You guys, Dina is an author, a speaker, and a coach, and she has a dynamic history of corporate leadership and all kinds of fun stuff. But really, the thing that I'm so super excited about is that she's going to be here with us today, leveraging her unique perspective that she's gained from over two decades as a farmer's wife. And I love how she blends agricultural wisdom with the, you know, all of the challenges of personal development. So welcome to the show, Dina.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And listeners, it's a pleasure to spend time with you and your ears.
Absolutely. So just tell us a little bit about, like, okay, how did you go from farmer's wife to being on the podcast today and doing the coaching work that you do now?
Absolutely. That is a great question. And I would say, crazy enough, it started when I was 15 years old, because that's when I met my husband. We are high school sweethearts. And he knew from the age of 8 that he wanted to be a farmer. And God love those people who find their passions early. There's many of us who don't. So I was always a little jealous of him, honestly, for that love of what he does. And like, that was what he's going to do. It's just in his blood. So he's a fourth generation farmer. And, you know, we met in high school, went off to college together. I was an accounting major, and I'm a CPA here in the state of Texas. So I'm actually a retired partner from a firm in Austin. I was an auditor, I was paid to be curious. I asked a lot of good questions and I looked at a lot of things, a lot of numbers and compliance for that 15-year career. But I would say about 8 years ago, from the outside looking in, everything looked fantastic. I was successful. I had climbed the corporate ladder. I had two healthy young kids. I had my marriage. We'd been around for a while, but I knew from the inside, it wasn't healthy. Our marriage wasn't healthy. I was not satisfied or fulfilled in my career. And it ultimately, unfortunately, and I always say you can't separate the person from the professional. And both of my personal and professional life kind of imploded all at the same time, where I really was at a huge fork in the road in both. Would I stay or leave a marriage? Would I stay or leave a corporate career that I built, and the safety and security, and let's be honest, the financial stability that provided my family? But after some really uncomfortable conversations, my husband and I decided, no, we've still got work to do and are invested in this relationship. And on pretty shaky legs, then we were like, let's go ahead and make a transition, you know, help me transition out of corporate into entrepreneurship. So, you know, I honestly think that was the best for us, because what I tell a lot of people, Jennifer, is for a lot of years we aged together, but we didn't grow together. And I would say, not even in the context of our relationship, me as an individual, I hadn't grasped the courage it was going to take to grow. And in those moments, I just decided I didn't want to settle any longer. And I think those were the things that I decided. People are like, how do you make that choice? And I say, I don't think the choice is, will you leave corporate or will you create a business? It's, will you choose to grow? And will you choose to not settle? And will you choose to listen? If your soul is saying, hey, I want this thing, then are we going to listen to it and give it a try? So here I am now. I always say, my husband and I say, we're on our second marriage. Our therapist says that everyone has multiple marriages. It's just some marry the same people and some marry the different people. Yep. So we're on marriage 2, and I am now 6 years into solopreneurship. I've I've written and got two books out in the world. My first was a memoir. The second, now this latest book, Soul Farmer, is such a gift and exciting to bring to the world, because I am, just like you said, bringing my farm wife perspective. And I've got two kiddos who are now 6 years older, about to leave. I've got my first who'll be leaving the nest in the summer. And I honestly feel like I'm living the dream, but it's always been about, my husband JP can grow plants and I can grow people. I kill plants. It's just, I just do. I don't have any green in my thumbs, but I have a passion for potential. I have a passion for believing in other people. Like, it gives me goosebumps right now. I just do. I believe if you or your listener says they want to do something, I think they can do it. And it's oftentimes a thing holding us back is fear. And I feel like I've made my own transition through that, embracing it. Not that I'm not, now that I'm fearless, but I know how to grow with my fear. And I've just got a lot of new tools in my own life that I wanted to share. And that's what I shared in Soul Farmer. And that's what I'm trying to do every day, really, is just help people grow.
So. Yeah, I love that so much. And so tell us, like, who did you write Soul Farmer for? And what do you hope that they get from the book?
Oh, great question. And have you written a book, Jennifer? I apologize if you have. I should know that. I know you have a planner.
I'm glad that you asked me that question. Yes, I have written a book called The Joy Guide. And my new book comes out April 30th, called The Apple Stand, How to Rekindle the Love for Your Business. So yes, I got a couple books out there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Look at us with two book babies. Okay.
I know.
So I would say that, and you know that question then, right? You're any editing team, anyone you work for in the book world is like, tell me who your reader is.
Yeah.
And I would say that this book is ideal for ambitious, I say small town women, and it's not necessarily based on population, but women who feel like they are in a small community that they foster and that they live in, that are truly ready to create the life of their dreams. And so it doesn't mean that it's someone who only has to be in or striving toward entrepreneurship. It's any woman who has a dream to make some part of their life better than what it is today. For some people, a lot of people are intrigued by our marriage journey. A lot of people are intrigued by my personal professional journey, but really, woman to woman, right? Women who believe in growth, women who are kind, open, and real with themselves and others, they're going to be the one who Soul Farmer is going to feel like a tool that they wish they'd had a while back, but now they've got it. And it's, the other thing for me too, is I have coached women and I have been coached. You've probably been in the same boat. And I do think that oftentimes coaching, personal coaching, business coaching can sometimes be a luxury. And I wanted to have an accessible tool. So I feel like this is also just, if you were to come work with me for a year in personal one-on-one coaching, these are the things we would do. And that's what I want from the time they open the page, the front cover of Soul Farmer, to the moment they close it. I want them to feel inspired. But what I mean by that is that they feel like they are more confident in what they want. Like they actually know this is the vision. They have more tools. Oh, I know how I can actually start to apply and make progress. And they just have a real, I call it sowing seeds of change to reap an inspired life. That's the subtitle, that they are living an inspired life. One that they're super excited to wake up for. Not that it's easy, but they go to bed and like, yeah, I did it today, right? I'm making progress toward what I say I want. And yeah, I would hope that they walk away just loving themselves a little bit more, feeling a little more confident they have an idea of where to go next, and also just feel really loved by the author, believed in, cared for. So yeah, that's Soul Farmer in a nutshell.
Wow, that's so great. And I love that you have that clarity on who this book is really for. And I do think it is so very important to get that clarity. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing with my current book that's coming out, and it's really for business owners who find themselves hating their business. And if you've been in business for any length of time, you know that there was a point, or for some of us, many points, where you're just like, ah, I hate this. I hate my business, or I hate a part of my business. And I know hate is a very strong word, but at the end of the day, if you're disliking it even a little bit, that's hate, you guys. And so if you find yourself like hating your business, but I love what you said also about like coaching sometimes can be a little bit of a luxury item, because if you can't afford, you know, to hire a coach, which obviously, I mean, we're coaches and we don't coach for free. And so there is an investment there. But anybody listening who is like, well, you know, I'd love to work with her, but I don't necessarily have the funds, like get the book. Like, I'm sure you did the same thing I did, Dina. Like I poured my heart and soul into this book because I wanted to help people who I can't work with everybody one-on-one, but I know how hard it is to like be in this place where you're just like, man, I just really need some help. So don't feel sorry for yourself. You're not a victim unless you you want to be, and you can go spend, you know, 10, 20 bucks, whatever it is on the book, and you can get the tools that you need to be able to grow and change and get yourself to that next level. I'm curious with Soul Farmer, talk to me a little bit about like, is there a particular tool or technique that you put in the book that you'd like to share with our listeners today that could be something that they could kind of take away right away to start wherever they might be, you know, wherever they might be stuck or needing some help?
Right. Absolutely. And I would say that I feel like before I can answer that, I want to just share a real quick question on how my husband really helped me reimagine this book. Cause, and you know, since you've written a book or anyone, any of your listeners who have, you know, you write your first draft, you submit your first manuscript, and then the editing starts, right? And that's the daunting part. But the editing is the most beautiful part. I think it's the hardest part because you're trying to make this book, this work of art, honestly, kind to the reader, right? How can we make this something that they can use and is not going to be a hindrance? It's going to help them. And I was really toying with some things and how to lay it out and make it make sense. And my husband came home one night and I said, why am I not asking like a real life farmer? I already knew I wanted to bring the nature and this like farm life perspective, but I was stuck a little bit. And so I went to him and I said, hey, can you just talk me through a crop cycle real quick? And he was like, well, from the farmer's perspective or the seeds? And I went, I still get full body goosebumps. I'm like the brain explosion emoji. That is what happened. I'm like, wait, what do you even mean by that? And yes, more, all of it. And as he did, he walked through, it was so fascinating that he could have such a perspective on this thing we call growth, right? Mm-hmm. That the seed, he's like, really the seed has it easy. You just stick it in the ground and then it does what it's supposed to do. Right. And he's like, me, on the other hand, as a farmer, I've got to know, I've got to give everything it needs. I've got to do things at the right time. I've got to like work around obstacles. But as I walked away, one, he helped me completely reimagine the organization of the book. So it is broken into three repeatable cycles, like the cycles of a crop cycle, which is plant, grow, harvest. Mm-hmm. So it's broken into those sections. But the moment I had was, oh my goodness, I truly believe that similar to his perspective of the farmer and the seed, that each individual one of us has a seed that I believe is the soul, right? We had this soul that was just, it's in us, this essence, this longing, this soul we have that longs to grow. I truly believe that, and grow in its own way. But we also have these very strong mind, power, like intellect, emotion, physical, like we have these. We're the farmer and the seed. And for me, bringing that to the table then and saying, I want to bring to the reader this belief that they have a soul that I truly believe longs to grow. And if they feel stuck, it's probably because they are not really nurturing that relationship they have to be the soul farmer I believe they can be. So every chapter ends with a tool for practice, a self-reflection exercise, so that they can take the content that I've brought, the ideas that I have, but then make them real in their own life, which again, it just, the biggest tool that comes out of Soul Farmer is self-reflection, giving yourself time, just time with yourself, time to be really curious, time to ask yourself questions, now, and again, we can't, many of us that believe in growth. So if they're listening to your podcast, many of them probably believe in adding tools. So sometimes those of us that are like that can get stuck in a little bit of analysis paralysis, but it's just another way that they can really stop. And I'm not a drinker, but if it was a drinking game, the number of times I say to ask themselves, what do you want? Like that is it's a pivotal question that if you're not asking yourself, not what you want for dinner, not what you want in your home, like what do you want for your life? Mm-hmm. What is it that in your final days, whenever that might rise up for you, you're really proud of what you've created? That's a big question. And for some people, that means that they really want to build a career, build a professional. For others, that means it's a really personal leaning family structure that can look different for everybody. Or some, it's giving to the community. But what do you want? If you don't get the book and if you don't have time, get a blank sheet of paper, ask yourself that question, and at least start the journey of getting curious with yourself.
Oh, I love this question so much. Obviously, I mean, I'm a coach too. And so this is so important when we work with business owners and getting clarity on what they want. Where do you want to go? What do you want that outcome to be? Because how are we as coaches supposed to really support you if you don't know what you want or you haven't done that work? But sometimes you're just so caught up in the day-to-day. It's really hard to slow down, to take that time. We just got back a day or two ago from our Sedona retreat. And the name of the retreat was Sedona Clarity Changes Everything, because it's true. When you have clarity, it does change everything. And one of the reasons why I love doing this work in a retreat format is because it gets us out of our day-to-day. And we get into a space where we can actually like relax for a minute and take a big deep breath and get out of that day-to-day. And I just love doing my visioning work in a beautiful place. I'm like, surround myself with abundance, surround myself with luxury, surround myself with all these good things. And it just creates such a nice space for doing that visioning work and then starting to figure out like, what do I want? Sometimes when I'm just like in the day to day, it's like, what do you want? I want dinner to cook itself for me.
Yes.
You know, I want the bathroom to clean itself. And I'm like, that's a little bit of a limited vision, Jen. So sometimes it's just so important, I think, to get out of that day to day when we do some of that visioning work. But you're so point right on of taking that time, asking the question, and don't rush it. Just, you know, take the time with it that you need to really get clear before you get busy, 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 because you can just spend so many wasted days, weeks, months, years, you know, chasing when you're not really clear on what it is that you really, really want.
Right. Yeah. And it's not an easy task, right? I remember when I had not retired yet from corporate, but I was working with a pair of coaches because I was obviously had a lot of trepidation about leaving and diving into entrepreneurship. And they were so gracious and offered me a coaching session. And, you know, that's what the coach said. He said, I really feel, Dina, like you just have a fear of the blank page. And again, I get a lot of goosebumps. I feel like my soul's like, yeah, you still do some, and that's okay. To me, Jennifer, what is so interesting about that what do I want question is it can be scary to think about what you want. And so many times the personal growth space, professional development space focuses on the fear of failure. But I would honestly say for me, it has become more of a fear of success, because I don't know how that success will impact the balance of the life I've created. And when I left, you know, 6 years ago, my kids were middle school. Now we're high school. So they need me less and in different ways. Mm-hmm. So I am ramping back up, right? I'm ramping back up and I'm okay to be away more. But to me, it's just an interesting thing to remember, like growth is about perspective. And it's so nice then to sometimes have someone, that's why we read these books. That's why we listen to podcasts, just to have someone say something. And you go, never thought of it that way. Never, never thought of it that way. So I hope that, and like you said, I am all for a retreat. And I laugh because in my first book, Road to Hope, I took myself on a solo corporate retreat because it was just me. So I took myself to this little B&B in a small, just kind of hill country town here in Texas. But I had a woman read the book, and her honest review was, loved the book, but it's not all of us can afford to go on a retreat. And I feel like I was reminded again that that time can be down the street at your public park, right? That time can be in your car. Like it is finding some way. I would say that nature has a really beautiful way of slowing you down if you can do it.
Yeah.
But anyone listening too, that even sometimes don't want the financial, that you can't go invest in a retreat, keep you from finding a little oasis somewhere, right? In your town, in your backyard. I walk laps around my house. I just, like, if I'm like having it and I'm just done, I get up, I walk outside, I get the sunshine. And yeah, there's something about the accessibility, but it is just about freeing our mind from the pace that society really leads us to believe is the pace that we have to. And so I have a chapter called Let Time Take Time. And it really is about pacing yourself and knowing that pacing is going to ebb and flow, right? Like, I just, like you, sometimes you ramp up your business efforts, sometimes you pull back. Like, and that's how it's supposed to be. If you look at, my husband does not have seeds in the ground 365 days a year. He just finished planting corn. He's about to almost be done planting cotton. And then we wait, you know, three, 4 months. And then he harvests. And then the ground goes, some people are familiar with the term, but it goes fallow, right? So it's just, there's nothing in the ground at that time. It's restoring itself. It needs that rest from the growth process. Mm-hmm. And so I write in Soul Farmer, I'm like, have faith in the fallow. Like, have faith that even those times that feel like a void where growth isn't happening, it is, right? It's just like for a bodybuilder. I am not a bodybuilder. But I'm saying, they always say that muscle builds during rest, right? Like, it's so true, but it's so hard to believe in the moment. It's hard to make it happen.
Yeah, it really, really can be. But I love your point about, even if you can't afford to go on a retreat, you can still make your own retreat. So there's no reason not to do that work for yourself. And for those who are like, yeah, I've got some money, I can afford to invest in myself, but maybe you don't want to. I remember, if I go back, gosh, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years, somewhere around in there, I was going through my transition out of corporate. I was going through a terrible divorce at the time. And it was like the worst time of my life, literally the worst. Yes. Like, if I look at my timeline of my life, there was like a black mark of that time when I went through that.
Right.
And I remember that I was introduced to a life coach, and I'd never worked with a coach before. And so here I am, I'm a single mom, I've got three kids, I've got a very demanding corporate job. We are living check to check, even though I was making great money. I mean, we are check to check because I was still paying for a failed business before that. And it was just, it was rough. And I remember that I had exactly $900 in my savings account. And the coach, her fee to work with her for 3 months was $900. Now, looking back, like $300 a month was a bargain. Now, this was a while ago, right? That was a bargain. But for me, that was every penny I had in my savings account. And I'm single mom with three kids at the time. And so I remember just wrestling with the guilt of, am I being an irresponsible mother because I'm going to take the tiny little bit of savings that we have and I'm going to invest it in myself. Yeah. And you know what? I made the decision and I took that $900 and I invested in a coach. I was probably her worst client because I would just cry on our calls sometimes. I was I had so much grief, and she helped me process through so much of that. But you know what? That was one of the best decisions I ever made, was to invest in myself. And the truth of the matter is that money sitting in an account wasn't really doing anything for anybody. But when I invested in myself, I became a better version of me, and I became a better mother for my children. And that is what helped me kind of step through all of that grief and go on to create my life today and become a successful coach and all of these things. And so I only share this story because I know somebody's listening who's just like, oh, I can't afford it, or I'm being irresponsible, or I shouldn't invest in myself. And I'm going to say, you know what? That investment in yourself is the best investment that you can make. And sometimes you've got to put that money to work for you and just trust that you are your best investment and it will pay off a hundredfold when you invest in yourself. So even if you're on the fence about like going to that retreat or hiring that coach, like it can really and truly be the best decision that you've ever made if you have the guts and the courage to just make it and believe in yourself.
Yeah. Or, and again, another way that I have found is, you know, investing in yourself does not have to be investing in someone else's work.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is like, when I say invest in yourself, I mean, what if you actually put your phone down, went phone free for 60 minutes and you just asked yourself, what do I want to do? And the other day, and again, if my husband ever comes home from the farm, he is going to think I'm crazy, but I was laying in the backyard on a blanket, just laying in the sun. And I think I only set my timer for 20 minutes, but that is an investment in my mental health. It's an investment in my emotional energy. It is an investment in caring for myself in a way that I needed at the time. So yeah, people can get so scrappy. There's ways to find, you know, for a while, you know, I didn't have a coach, but I found a dear friend who I just loved her spirit. And I was like, would you just meet me in the library once a week? And let's just sit by each other and let's just see what happens. And now we have a podcast together. I had created a women's event. She's now the co-producer with me. Like, you don't know where those relationships are going to lead. And that was an investment in my gut that, hey, I really kind of want to hang out with her because I feel good energy when I'm around her. So there's a lot of ways to invest in yourself, but you're right. It is a choice to prioritize yourself and trust that that is in no way jeopardizing the people you care for. It's not. That's hard to believe, but you have to finally just trust it, right? That's why we put our masks on the airplane first, right? Like, surely if they know something, we know, like, help yourself before you help the others. So.
Yeah. And I think that when you do that and you show up with a full cup, now you can serve others in a very authentic and real way versus feeling drained and bitter and resentful, like everybody's running you around. But really, you're the one who's done it because it's your choice to make. At the end of the day, it's always your choice to make if you're going to take care of yourself or you're not going to take care of yourself. You're the only one who can make that choice. So I love your ideas on different ways that you can care for yourself, even if it's just as simple as setting a timer for 20 minutes, going outside, sitting in the sun, soaking up some sunshine. That's my absolute favorite thing to do. I love sunshine.
Really
get your vitamin
so
D, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Well, Dina, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. Can you please share with everybody where can they find you if they want to buy Soul Farmer or if they want to find more about you?
Yeah. The one-stop shop would be to head to the website at dinajansen.com. It really will have, it will guide you to all the other places you can do everything. Soul Farmer is available on all your online outlets. Of course, you can grab it on Amazon or anywhere else. And for those who don't need the physical book in hand, of course, we've got the Kindle or an ebook, but we've got a lot of listeners, right? Where a lot of us are busy. So there's a lot of Audible or Apple books. I'm the narrator, so I can read straight to you if you just want to work with me and listen to me and have me read it. So the website is fantastic. Or again, just go look for Soul Farmer and if you play on the social media space, Instagram is like my favorite little place to be. And that's at Dina_Jansen. So it was an honor to be here. I hope that anyone listening again can feel from both, you know, it's not easy to grow, but I believe we're born to, but the best part is you don't have to grow alone, right? We're here. Both of us are here to support them in whatever way we can as we're figuring it out ourselves, right? So
that's exactly right. I love that so much. So you guys head over to dinajansen.com, check her out, grab a copy of Soul Farmer. And if you would like to grab a copy of my new book, The Apple Stand, How to Rekindle the Love for Your Business, it comes out April 30th and it'll be available everywhere that books are sold. And I'm also super excited for those of you who are listening to Jen and Dina going, wow, they've got four books between them. We're super excited that we're getting ready to launch a new authors program for our clients to help people get their book written. And so the book writing process is lengthy. You've got really two big mountains to climb. You've got to get the book written and then you've got to market the book. And they are both equal sized hurdles to cross. And so we're super excited to be offering a new program where we actually bring in the accountability and the support to help you get the book written, go through the editing process, and also then market the book and launch it. So if you're interested in that, you guys just head over to jenniferdawncoaching.com and schedule a call with my team to talk to us about it. We'd be happy to talk to you about it. So that's it today. Dina, thank you so much for being here with me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. It was an honor.
You're so welcome. All right, guys, get out there and have a happy, productive day. Bye, y'all.
I hope you found today's episode of the Happy Productive Podcast inspiring. Every successful business is formed by a set of small, consistent, and attainable steps. If you want to learn more, come visit us at jenniferdawncoaching.com to take your next step and learn how to meet your business goals. On our website, you're going to find free resources along with links to the life-changing coaching programs that have transformed the lives of so many of our clients, including the Coaching Academy and our Unbreakable Retreats. Many of them started their journey by listening to this podcast. That's it. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for our next episode.
This is the She Leads Podcast Network.